Well, good morning. Good morning. Will you turn with me, please, to the book of Romans? And we're going to be in chapter 10 this morning, verses 13 through 17. And while you're turning there, first of all, Happy New Year. But to the students, tonight we're going to have to cancel. So I'm sorry, I know you're all set. No. But yeah, we will cancel for tonight just out of that caution. But don't worry, because you guys will still get to do your catechism during the service today. So be ready for that. Good. As Pastor Mike said that last week, I'm going to be sort of talking to us just a basic idea of how to share our faith this week. And it's actually pretty appropriate as we're preparing to put our minds in the book of Acts. For those of you who are in the men's Bible study, you guys are already aware of a lot of this, and you guys sort of have a leg up on a lot of folks. But the book of Acts is essentially how God uses his people to make himself known. And so it's just a great opportunity for us to get a refresher on that. And so that's what we're going to do today. So we're going to start here, though. We're going to start in Romans chapter 10. So look with me in verse 13 as we read. It says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. But not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, 'Lord, who has believed in our message?' So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ." Let's pray. Father, your word is right. Lord, you inspired your word so that we may understand your will for our lives, Lord. As we study it, as we digest it, Lord, help us to understand it better, I pray. In your son's name, amen. So I think our passage today, I'm going to do better than Pastor Mike. I got it on before I had to try it. Yeah. Our passage today gives us a pretty clear why for sharing the gospel. I just want to bring our attention to a couple small things before we move into the how to share the gospel. And the first one is super simple. This right here. Faith in Christ is what saves you. Let me look back at 13. We're actually, in your Bibles, I think, it'll actually show that sort of 13 is at the end of a thought from the Apostle Paul. And what he's doing is he's actually finishing up this big thought that has taken up the majority of the rest of Romans. So up to this point, Paul has been developing an argument, and he's kind of summarizing it here. And so he uses Joel 2:32 to do that. And so what he's summarizing is that we are all saved through faith in Jesus and the work that he's done through the cross. So essentially, salvation comes through faith in who Jesus is and what he's done on our behalf. And so faith in Christ is what saves you. The second thing I want us to see is this. It has to be heard. Look at verses 14 and 17. Paul goes on to say there that in order for someone to call out, to confess their need for Jesus, in order for someone to be able to do that, they have to believe that Jesus made a way for us to be forgiven. In order to believe in the good news of Jesus, they have to hear it. They have to hear the good news. They have to hear the gospel. And this may seem like common sense to us, and that's because it is. And how did they hear it unless it is preached? And Paul uses this word preach a lot of different ways, and especially throughout all of his letters. But I'm sure most of us, when we hear preach, what we hear is what I'm doing right now. Someone standing up in the pulpit delivering a sermon. And that is preaching in a very real way, but it isn't the only way that Paul uses this word. What he's saying here in our passage is that in order for someone to hear the gospel, it has to be proclaimed. It has to be spoken. It has to be told by somebody. And that somebody is us. And what I mean by us is us as Christ followers. It's us who has to tell them. It's our jobs to tell them the good news of Jesus. And the last thing is super simple. You gotta go. Here's what I mean by that, is we've got to go with that message. And I think that we can often, there are two kind of goes that we've got. There's the missionary go, which is absolutely true. One is this our missionaries that we have sent into many parts of the world. And I kind of want to put two plugs in for them. Is that okay? Number one is this. On your way out, the doors right there, to the right, just past those doors, is a map of the world. Each of our missionaries that we support as a church is labeled on that map. Take a few minutes and just learn about them. We have these little I'm looking at Christopher, wherever you are, index-sized cards that have all the information that you would like to know, what their names are, where they're serving, and even ways that you can pray for them. And don't worry, after service, if you go buy it and there's a long line, it'll be there next week, and the next week, and the next week, and so on. It will be there. So don't miss the opportunity for you to be able to learn about our missionaries, for you to be able to participate in going to the nations. Second plug is this. On your way out today, as you, again, go out those doors, there's going to be some folks there handing out some missionary magnets. And what this is that they are magnets for one of our missionary families, the Widdups, who serve in Vanuatu. And we've got enough magnets for each family to have one where you can put it up on your fridge or put it someplace where you guys can then begin to continually pray for them. So those are my two plugs there. So don't forget to get those on your way out. But the other one, the other sending is us. The other sending is the local. And that involves you and me making Jesus known to our neighbors, to our coworkers, to our barber, to our gas station attendants, and the lists can go on and on and on. But the point is this, being sent isn't just for missionaries. It's for you and me too. You see, one of the things that I love about Acts 24, I just love the book of Acts. I'm so excited, by the way, that we're going through it. But chapter 24, Paul gives this understanding for us that God is in charge of everything, which means that he is in charge of the exact time and place that you and I are living, breathing, working, growing, being. And he doesn't put you there on accident. He has you where you are, right here, right now, and in the home that you live, in the community that you live, for a reason. And that's to make him known. You see, we got to remember, Paul teaches us that in order for someone to be saved, they must hear the incredible message of the gospel. And in order for them to hear it, you and I have to tell them. But how do we do that? How do we make Christ known to our neighbors? Evangelism, which is the sharing of our faith, sharing the gospel, can seem absolutely scary and filled with a lot of questions, fears, doubts, hurdles, unknowns. And that can be enough to make any of us stop right there and just freeze. But I want to give us some real practical thoughts on how to share our faith, with the hope that as you do so, as you think about these things, that you feel more confident in sharing your faith. But before I do, I have to give credit to some of these practical steps, because it's not all me. A pastor by the name of Matt Smithhurst wrote a little book called Before You Share Your Faith. Simple title. And I'm leaning really heavily on that. And so I want to make sure that I call it out. And also, those of you who are parents of students in my youth group, you should have a copy in your house somewhere because I gave it to them. Ask for it. Hopefully it's dog-eared and underlined, but we'll see. Ask for it because it's an incredible book to help you begin to really critically think through how to share my faith. So what do we do? Before we share our faith, there are three things I want us to understand about before we share our faith. The first is this. We have got to grasp the gospel. And here's what I mean by that. We have got to understand the good news ourselves. So before we share the faith, we've got to understand it, right? And I put this number one, and honestly, it is my absolute longest point. Because without it, without the gospel, there is no sharing your faith. The gospel is at the very core of it. It's what makes Christians Christian. The gospel is not good advice. The gospel is not an ethical code that we follow to get something. It's not a way to make us feel better about ourselves and death. It's an announcement. It's an announcement that says the beautiful, good God who loves us deeply has made a way for you and for me to be back into right relationship with Him. The good news is that you don't need, I should say the other good news, the other good news is that you don't need an advanced degree in the Bible to know the gospel. It's easy enough for anyone to understand. The gospel is simple. And we can think of it in two different ways, the broad gospel and the narrow gospel. The broad gospel is like looking at Tipton 10,000 feet in the air from an airplane and being able to see the big picture of town. And the narrow gospel is like standing on the front steps of the courthouse and being able to see it in detail. But not all of it, but you can see where you are in detail, right? Does that make sense? Okay, good. So the narrow gospel focuses more on what Jesus has done and why. We'll do it this way. Students of Rock Prairie, are you ready? Yeah. What is the gospel?
Good news.
What is the good news?
Jesus died for my sins.
Why did he die for your sins?
So that I have an abundant life and relationship with him now and forever.
What is grace?
God's love for undeserving sinners.
What just happened there? You see, 2 years ago, I was convicted that if I'm telling my students to share the gospel and they don't know it, what good am I, right? So what we began to do is what is called a catechism. It's sort of a question and response thing where we develop an understanding of the gospel. And so that's what we've done. This is the narrow gospel. It's that simple. And for those of you who couldn't understand, that's what we were saying. So the broad gospel is a little bit different. The broad gospel is a little bit different. It's giving us the bigger picture. Going back to an airplane analogy, we get a fuller picture of Tipton from 10,000 feet up in an airplane, right? We don't just see the courthouse. We see the whole town itself. We see the roads. We see the rivers. We see the fields and stuff around it. But I think it's important for us as Christians who look to share their faith with others, to also have a general understanding of the broad gospel, too. As I've talked to more and more people who aren't Christians, I'm learning more and more that they don't even have a basic understanding of where we came from. It's not like they know about God, our Creator, and how sin separates us from Him, yet they choose to reject them. It's not like that. It's more like God, who? Sin, what? You see, we live in a time where any basic biblical understanding is lost on many people. And if we want to tell them the good news, we may need to fill in more than just the narrow gospel. And so the 10,000-foot view of the gospel can actually be broken into four chapters. Four chapters. First chapter is this, creation. In the beginning, God. God what? God created. So at the baseline, there is a God. I know sometimes for us we can think, Well, duh. But for many people, that's not a duh. That's like a, really? There is a God. There is a creator. And that is him. He is our sustainer. He is our ruler. He made us, which means he owns us. And we were created for God, which means that he alone can satisfy us. We were created to find our fulfillment in him. And so no amount of money or power, popularity, relationships, substance, none of that will be able to satisfy you because you weren't made to be satisfied by those things. As we look around, though, we can notice that people, and I think we can say this comfortably, people aren't satisfied when we look around us, right? No. Why? That brings us to our next chapter, the fall. So chapter 2 is the fall. You see, something is wrong with our hearts. It's a reflection of what happened to our first parents, Adam and Eve. They decided that they wanted to call the shots in their own life, and so they turned their back on God and caused all of God's image bearers, all humans, to go headfirst into this ocean of sin. Our hearts are deformed, and our love for God has been disordered to love things and self. All of us now rebel against God in our nature and in our choices. You see, our satisfying relationship with God is broken. Chapter 3, though, the rescue. But then God did something about it. You see, since we can't rescue ourselves, God rescued us. In order for our relationship to be restored, sin needed to be dealt with. The only way to deal with sin is death. Death satisfies God's requirement for when we sin. We sin, we should die. That's God's holiness. But God is also merciful. In his mercy, he came to the earth in the form of a man, Jesus. He lived the perfect life we were meant to live. Then taking on all of our sin himself, he died the death that we deserve. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, conquering death, and in doing so, restoring the relationship with God for those who put their faith in him. Which brings us to the final chapter, new creation. You see, while we have a relationship with God now, those of us who have put our faith in him, we are still on the earth where things are still affected by sin. But through Jesus, we can have the assurance that God will one day make everything right, make everything new. And until that time, we can know that God's grace gives us the ability to do what?
Hard
things while we wait. Okay, let's come up for a breath of air. Because like I said, that's my longest point, but it's also the most important one. Because I don't feel like I could ask you guys to go out and tell each other about the gospel, to share the good news without making sure that we had our bases covered. Is that okay? All right, so breathe. Well, everything else is pretty short from now on, so that's okay. The next thing we need to understand is this. The second thing. I've already lost my place. The second thing is praying for opportunities. So as we grasp the gospel, before we share our faith, we're grasping the gospel. And number two, we're praying for opportunities. Praying for opportunities. In Acts chapter 4, the Christians pray for boldness to continue to spread the good news. Paul, in his letters, often, over and over, asks the churches to join him in prayer as he seeks to speak the good news. In Matthew 9, Jesus says to the disciples that they should pray to the Lord of the harvest that God would send people into the world with the good news. Before you and I begin to share the good news of the gospel, we should be praying often. Make it part of your normal daily rhythm to pray for opportunities to make Christ known to those around you. Pastor Mike introduced us a while back to the evangelist's prayer. And I think it's simple, powerful, and it's appropriate. And I say powerful because when you begin to pray with this in mind, the Lord truly answers. So that prayer was this. Again, simply, God, open my eyes. That's the first one. Pray that God would open our eyes to see others in our life that need him. And I don't know if you're like me, but I'm one of those guys that's really good at getting tunnel vision and just going about doing my thing and doing my task and checking off my checklist. To the point where I often can become so focused on myself and the things I need to do that I forget to look up and look around. So pray that God would open your eyes to see those that cross your path and don't know him. If I can offer advice or let you know that as I started doing that, God opened up that door like a floodgate for me. And in answering the prayer, God helped me to see someone that I hadn't noticed, many people. And that's true for you as you pray. He will do that. He may convict you to slow down and just to simply listen to someone. He may put someone on your heart as you're praying. Listen to those things. The next thing is this. The next part of the prayer is to open the door. God, open the door. Pray that God would give you an opportunity to share a meal with them or to sit down with them or a chance to talk with them. The important thing is to make sure that you're looking out for those opportunities. We can pray all day long, God, give me the opportunity. But if we don't look for them, it's just going to be another day. That's the second one. The third one is this. Open their hearts. Because while it's our job to make sure we're sharing the gospel, it's God's job to prepare their heart to receive the gospel. And so simply pray that God would prepare their hearts to be receptive. Pray that God would prepare their hearts to be receptive. Open my eyes, open the door, and open their hearts. The next is this. Face your fears. As you're preparing to share the gospel, face your fears. What often stops us from sharing our faith? And I've had plenty of conversations with folks, and it can come to being afraid of one of a few things. And of course, these aren't the only reasons why people don't share their faith, but it's one of a few things. It's fear. Fear of not knowing what to say, fear of rejection, fear of being told no, fear of being ridiculed or made fun of or ostracized, fear of messing up, fear of being inconvenienced. They don't say that, but you can kind of read between the lines sometimes. The fear of being inconvenienced. I got to tell you, though, fear is a powerful tool of the enemy. It is a powerful tool of the enemy to stop you from doing what you know God has called you to do. So let me give us three truths we need to practice to help us face our fears. Number one is this. This is what I've actually got to do for myself often. Is preach the gospel to myself. The first thing we need to practice is preaching the gospel to ourselves. There will be times when you mess up sharing the gospel. There will be many times when you don't know the answer to a question or a comment that someone might have. That's okay. In those moments, preach the gospel to yourself. What I mean is, remember God's grace for you when you make a mistake. Remember God's grace. The gospel is good news of God's forgiveness in spite of our daily failures and in spite of our daily shortcomings. The gospel is good news. The same thing is true that we're telling others about God's grace. The same thing is true for you and I. So when you make a mistake in sharing the gospel, ask God for forgiveness and approach that person, correct yourself, and trust that God's grace has got you covered. Or God promises his grace to those who humble themselves and admit. Or if you don't have a response to someone's question or comment, admit that. Bring the conversation back up after you've studied it and continue. See, your value isn't based on having every answer to every thought someone else may have. But your value is in who God says you are. You are his child. So don't put that value on somebody else. The gospel also addresses when we don't want to share the gospel because we're afraid of being rejected or ridiculed. You see, I think that fear comes from a couple things. Number one is this, that we want acceptance from other people more than we trust God's acceptance for us. We're afraid to share the gospel because we don't want to be rejected, because we want their acceptance more than we trust God's acceptance that's already on us. We have to realize that our acceptance by others often hangs on a thread. We can look at news, TV, social media, and see how quickly, in 1 minute, one person is loved by so many, and then the next minute, it's like the bottom drops out. People's acceptance of us is temporal. It doesn't last. But the beauty is that God's assurance of his acceptance of us is now and forever, unchanging and unmoving. Anchor your hope on that. The second thing I think opinion that people have is that we feel that other people's opinion of us matters more than God's. So when we don't want to share our faith because we're afraid we're going to get made fun of or ridiculed, it's because often we're more worried about what someone else thinks about me than what God thinks about me. When sharing your faith, others may say things. They may exclude you from activities. It may hurt your social status or your prospects at moving up in work. It may even make things uncomfortable at family events. But those things aren't your true treasure. Jesus commands us to store treasure in heaven where things can't be lost, where they can't be stolen, where they can't be destroyed. Jesus promises us that what is to come is so much greater than what we lose here on earth. It's worth it to tell others the good news. It's worth it to tell others good news. The second thing we can do to face our fears is this. Stand on your community. Stand on your community. As you face your fears, remember to stand on your church community. As a church, each member of Rock Prairie has the same purpose, to make Christ known. And so in making Christ known, that means the individual person is sharing the gospel, but they're also supporting someone else, others in the body, sharing the gospel. And so invite your life group, invite your elders, invite others in your church family to pray for you and those that you're sharing with. Bring the church community in there. Let folks know what you're doing. Look for help when you feel unsure or afraid. Let your community come alongside you. Because Satan, again, another tool that Satan loves to use is you're all alone at this. You have to do this on your own. That is an absolute lie. Jesus built the church for that reason. Share with your community. The last is this. Take every chance. When we pray for opportunities to share the gospel, we need to be ready to take those opportunities that God gives us. Sometimes those opportunities may be glaringly obvious. Other times it may just be a conviction of the Holy Spirit to, why don't you go to this gas station for coffee today instead of that one? Take those opportunities. Take those chances. And so before you share your faith, make sure that you are grasping the gospel, praying for opportunities, facing your fears. So let's talk about this. How? as you share your faith, what should you do? Number one is this: check your context. Check your context. I won't go into it here, but again, Acts chapter 17. We'll get to it, I guess, I don't know, with Pastor Mike's schedule, probably next year. No, sorry. That's terrible. He's not even here. But Acts chapter 17 is a beautiful, beautiful passage where the Apostle Paul, we get to see this little glimpse into Paul looking at the context of Athens, the people of Athens, getting to understand them before he goes and preaches the word. Because you see, the same is true for us. Paul understood his context before he began to speak. He took some time to understand it. And for us, we've got to understand that the majority of folks in the West, about 100 years ago, had the basic worldview that we have. There is a creator God, there's sin, there's rebellion from God. These basic things like that, or even the basic thing of that there is life after death. 100 years ago, the majority of people had that understanding. It's not true today. We can't assume that basic knowledge. We need to understand worldview before we can begin to really share the gospel with them clearly. Here's what I mean. Is before we start throwing out biblical terms at them, we need to understand where they are. For example, God loves us is great news, but it's meaningless if they don't understand God and who he is. Or you're a sinner, 100% true. But it doesn't make sense that they have no idea what sin is. The fact that the great Savior of the world is offered to us through Jesus is the greatest news of all. But that's not going to resonate if they don't understand that what they need to be saved from. Please make sure you don't hear me saying that we need to take parts of the gospel out because it's hard. I'm not saying that. I'm definitely not saying that. In fact, I'd argue that would actually cheapen the gospel. And most times in church history, it causes heresy. We don't want that. What I am saying is use language they understand. Use language they understand. We don't use the word Lord a lot today. So when we use the phrase like, make Jesus the Lord of your life, it might be hard for someone to understand. But if we instead made it something like this, make Jesus the one in charge of your life or the leader of your life, when you first begin to talk to them, then it'll be a little more understandable. Does that make sense? Yeah. Know the people you're talking to. Know the people you're talking with. It's vital to get the message across clearly. The next one is this. Love the lost. Love the lost. To love the lost seems like a given, but it's worth mentioning. 1 Corinthians 13 is a phenomenal passage when it comes to love. And in verses 1 through 3, Paul actually says this. He says that we can do all of these great things, but if we do them without love, they're useless. They're meaningless. I think evangelism, sharing our faith, is the exact same way. Just because we share the gospel doesn't mean that we love the lost people we're talking to. James 2 actually says it again. He says it in a different way, I guess. He says, our evangelism means nothing if those we're talking to don't know we care about them. Show them you care about them. A caution. Showing them you care doesn't mean you affirm all their choices. It means showing compassion in hard times. It means giving them godly advice with a sincere heart. It means being true to your word to them. It means coming alongside them. Another way that we love the lost is how we interact with them. This I actually had originally on its own point called mind your manners, but I think it fits here. So when you're having a faith conversation with folks, how are you treating them? Are you respectful? Do you show genuine interest in what they want to say? If at any point you wanted to begin to argue or debate, step back. Don't lose sight of your goal and who it is that you represent, Jesus. Our last point is pretty simple. Start to speak. How do I start? I encouraged the students a couple weeks ago with this simple thing. Pick one or two people. Just find one or two people in your life and begin to pray for them. Write their names down and place it somewhere that you will remember, but commit to praying for them. Pray for their hearts to be ready. Pray for your eyes to see the opportunities to share with them. And as you are talking with folks, listen to them, because we do have to earn the right to be heard. Like we talked about earlier, you need to show folks you care for them. That means developing a relationship with them sometimes. It can take time to earn that voice, especially if someone has been hurt in the past by experiences with Christians. It'll take time. People take what you have to say much more to heart when they see that you care about them. And at some point in your life, as you share faith, you will hear some form of no when you offer the hope of Jesus. In our passage this morning, we actually talked around verse 16, but I think now is a good time to bring it back. Verse 16 said this, "But they have not obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed in what he has heard from us?'" Paul himself is actually talking about a majority of the Jewish people who have not received the good news of Jesus. He quotes Isaiah, who had the same experience. In Isaiah 52, right before this quote, Isaiah was describing how the Messiah would suffer for our sins. And then he begins to lament that so many people didn't believe it. It's the same thing that you and I may encounter. The truth is, not everyone will receive the gospel. It hurts. It's so hard to see someone reject the greatest news that we know that they need, but we have a faithful God who has the bigger picture in mind. And honestly, we may just be playing a small piece in that person's life. Don't let it get you down. Remember, your hope and your worth is not in their response. It's in Jesus. And as we finish up, I feel like I need to say this again. Pray. Pray before, pray during, pray after. Pray often, pray intentionally. Church, let's remember that Christ is their hope, and we are his chosen method to make him known. Let's pray. Father, you have given us an incredible, incredible gift of grace by the work of your Son. Lord, and with that grace, you have also given us a call to extend that grace to those all over the world. And for us personally, even those, including those that are right near us. God, the enemy wants to put lies into our head that cause us to think, no, that's, we don't need to, or I can't. But Lord, I pray that you would silence the enemy and give us the boldness. As believers prayed back in Acts 4, the boldness to continue to make you known. I pray in your Son's name. Amen.